This podcast is brought to you by High Five Tom, a proud family member of
Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
And honored to be part of
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Revelry with Will and High Five Tom.
And then maybe you just say hi to him if you can, if possible.
It's impossible. It's impossible to say hi. Hi, Tom! Wish you were here. You have a good friend, Sarah, who's bought you this limited edition, one of only a couple left here in Winnipeg, and Manitoba.
Also, he does have a podcast. He talks about you all the time. He talks very highly of you on there.
That's good.
So I just wanted to join me and give you one of those.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
All right, what up, High Fivers? It's your boy, High Five Tom. And steady as a rock, I've got the Oak Rowland nominator, Derry, New Hampshire's own, Mr. Will Mercier. Will, how are you tonight, my friend?
I'm warmer than I feel like it should be. But you know, we've had a lot of rain. Still a lot of rain in the forecast. It is cooling down. I've got one of the air conditioners in the apartment set to just fan only. So we're working on getting these things out of the windows. We'll start working on cutting my electric bill by 2/3.
Yeah, that's the same here. So we're yeah, I think next year we're gonna have to invest in a new air conditioner ourselves here, because the one we've got might work as in a bedroom, but I know it's weird. Like, our spare bedroom is cooler than shit. I mean, we got a fan in the window, but you know, but yeah, it's been nice and cool. It's supposed to warm up again this weekend. But Will, we may or may not have set a pre-production record. We are currently at 59 minutes and 50 seconds. And we just started recording.
I mean, there was a break in that time where we both stepped away for a couple of minutes. So I mean,
yeah, I did go outside. I did go outside to look at the 2/3 of a moon, which was pretty sweet per my wife's recommendation.
And I guess I'll come around at the start of the episode and just say, I hope if people are so inclined, you know, if you're following us through the Visionaries Global Media feed, they would have seen that I guested on our friend Nattering with E, where it was mostly comic talk, a little bit of music, but mostly comic talk. It was a good time. I told Eric I'd be happy to come back on if we want to expand more on something we already talked about, or if we wanted to do, because initially it was going to be, I was going to come on and talk mostly about music. And the music was kind of like an afterthought. I mean, we touched on like Baroness, we touched on Scissor Fight a little bit, but we didn't really talk a ton about music.
That's so fun. Yeah, and you can.
That's in the Visionaries Global Media archive at this point. It's last week, there's so many shows cranking out episodes. It's probably buried.
And well, that is a very good segue, because I did want to start this episode. As four members of the Visionaries Global Media family had birthdays between the last time we recorded and between this time this episode drops. So first of all, I want to shout out Big Daddy Diesel for happy birthday to Diesel. Unless his birthday was on the 16th. And then we have birthday twins, Chad, you know, the other godfather of Visionaries Global Media. His birthday was on the 20th, but also a future guest of this show and one half of the Good Cop, Bad Cop podcast, or 1/3. I'm sorry. My apologies to this guy. Matt, who will be coming on here, one of my podcasts in the near future. His birthdays were both on the 20th. And then as this drops, The aforementioned Eric Fried's birthday will be.
Goddamn.
You know, and I think. No, I think Chad Diesel might be 36 or 37. I think Fried's 35, and Matt's 40. So, well, I'm still the old. Oh, actually, no, I think Graham's a little bit older than I am, which is weird.
So, speaking of Diesel, Pop Man, I'm pretty sure it was on last week's, not this past week's, the week before's episode of The Shining Wizard, where somebody mentioned Diesel, and I think it was Handsome Kevin's like, isn't that Tom's friend?
That makes me happy. So, yeah, Diesel has been to Handsome Kevin's house twice, actually.
Goddamn.
As we make our annual pilgrimage, of course, it's always a great idea to drive to northern Minnesota in February, but we're tough.
That's you know, it's the same number of times that Handsome Kevin has been to New Jersey.
It's true. And I vastly agree with his synopsis of how people, for the most part, down in that neck of the woods drive. Like a bunch of fucking speeding assholes. So there's no reason to be going 85 in a 55. You know?
You got shit to do, Tom. Get out of the way.
You know, if it's a two-lane highway, just, you know. Like my wife always says, we are not responsible for your poor time management.
There you go.
So,
another thing I want to put over is I'll show it on camera, even though this is an audio only experience. I want to put over Joshua Williamson and I'm blanking on the other guys, Mike Henderson's Nail Biter.
Oh, nice.
Which is about a town called Buckaroo, Oregon, that just produces serial killers.
Interesting.
I read it, and I thought a lot about Stephen Graham Jones, his catalog of work. So I decided to throw out a line on Twitter and be like, hey, Stephen Graham Jones, have you read Nailbiter? And he responded, yes. And he said that he loved the first hardcover. He's got the first two hardcovers. He doesn't have the third one in his hands yet, despite all the comics editor contacts he's tried to use to get one.
Nice. I mean, Buckaroo, Oregon, that's not a real place, is it?
Is it, though? Brittany thought I was making up when I said Rancho Cucamonga, California.
No, I know that's real. I've been there.
I know we know it's real, but she's like, you're making that up. I'm like, no, that's a real place.
Huh. Interesting.
But is it a real place? That's a good question, Tom.
Those are the kind of questions I like to ask. Well, I mean, you know, being from Wisconsin, we definitely know our...
It is, it unfortunately appears to not be a real place. However... Oh, so it's just the. I thought this said there was no. So there is no town of Buckaroo.
Okay. But I mean, Oregon.
It's fun, weird, scary horror book about.
That's a cool concept. I like that.
A bunch of serial killers all from a small town. So, like, everybody in the small town is related in some way to a serial killer. And the titular Nail Biter is one of, like, what could they kind of consider, like, the, if you would, like, the pantheon of, like, the greats of the serial killers from the area. And his thing was people who bite their nails, and he kidnaps them, lets their nails grow out, and then he chews down their nails and then eats their fingers.
All right.
And he kind of has a Hannibal. They allude to this in the book, and they, like, quote Silence of the Lambs. He's kind of he ends up being like a Hannibal Lecter kind of character in the Silence of the Lambs, where it's kind of, it's not like they're directly going to him saying, we need your help, but they're like, I feel like you know more about what's going on than you're letting on, and people are going to try to kill you because they think you're the problem.
Yeah.
Despite you saying you're not the problem, despite us being with you when the problems are happening. So, Joshua Williamson is an amazing writer. And I'm hooked after this volume one. I went and wishlisted the first compendium for it. So I don't, it says a compendium volume one. So I don't know if this will have everything or if this just has a solid chunk of it. Cause it's a $40 book. Not as much as the new Hellblazer omnibus that came out. I want to get, that's 140, but it's got, there's a lot of stuff in there and it's the stuff that I really want to read. So.
Well, speaking of books, do we ever figure out when our good friend, former guest of the show, and if you want to pre-order his book, all you do is hit the smash the link in the show notes here. When Josh's
book, what the official like release date is?
Yeah, so September, right?
So the website didn't have like,
oh, okay,
a set release date.
Good.
I can DM him right now, and if he gets back to me while we're recording, we can put it out there in the world.
Love to get that guy back on. I got some additional content I'd like to run by him one of these days, for sure. But Will, yeah. Well, speaking of serial killers, sunshine, can I tell the story?
Sure.
So my wife, I'm gonna kind of edit the details to protect the innocent here. I was talking to somebody at her work, who had ran into a guy who was kind of all like scratched up and beat up a little bit.
Yeah, his arms were all gouged.
His arms were all kind of gouged up and everything. And this is like 89, 90. It's, you know, kind of the downtown Milwaukee area. And later this person happens to be on the news and they recognize that they actually ran into Jeffrey Dahmer.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories like that.
Not the same thing, but
I missed the best part. Okay, what's the best part?
It's so chilling. So he goes up to Dahmer and asks, like, "Oh man, are you okay?" And Dahmer says, "You should see the other guy."
That sounds like something Dahmer would say.
Yeah,
it's like so chilling, like, and so. Like, it's so funny because, you know, that's normally what guys say, but, like, coming from him, that is chilling.
Yeah. Did you watch that series on Netflix, Will? Or is it on Netflix? Or...
Yeah. I didn't watch that.
I heard it's really
good. I read My Friend Dahmer, which is a graphic novel about somebody who grew up with Dahmer, like, through, like, middle and high school.
Nice. Yeah, I had a... What library was I at? Well, I think when we were up north, I ran into like a Dahmer book. So, I mean, we always buy books at the library and then pass them out in the neighborhood. And then I went to our favorite little library and they're like, yeah, if you could not drop that book off, that'd be awesome. So I was like, okay, that's fine. Yeah, Mark and Karen's door on their library broke sometime. So that's sad. Our favorite little library's got a broken door right now. So hopefully their books are okay. Yeah. But speaking, what's off the hinge? So,
meeting weird people. Brittany's mom met Quentin Tarantino on a ferry going to Martha's Vineyard once.
That's cool.
And it's one of those things where she, the guy was talking to him about the dog because they had a dog named Baxter, and he was just, I guess, being Quentin Tarantino. Brittany's mom has no idea who the hell Quentin Tarantino is.
That's
so. And she came back, and Brittany's father was like, "You know who that was, right?" And she's like, "No,
yeah.
Quentin Tarantino." I had a guy whose parents were. He grew up in California, and his mom at one point was just hanging out, and I guess. I'm gonna blank on the fucking guy's name. I think it was Evander Holyfield was just out like. Running and jogging, and his mom talked to him because she didn't, you know, recognize like that he was something. So she was just talking to him just because it's she was being social. And again, he, you know, I got to get back going to whatever. And dad comes out and is like, "Do you realize who we're talking to?" No.
Yeah. Yeah. Faith's mom ran into Andre the Giant once in the airport.
Was he tall?
He was not short. I mean, I used tall enough where her mom, who was not even really aware of wrestling or the Princess Bride or anything, knew who he was, and obviously it stood out. But I don't know if this is true or not. So I have I'm unable to confirm because this person doesn't have any social media where they post their whereabouts. But I swear I saw the Haktua girl at work on Friday. I swear it was her.
You saw her at work. At which job? At the
stadium? At the stadium. She was going to a Brewer game. She had a Cleveland Indians jersey on. I know she's from Nashville, but I know she's done some Indian stuff. And I mean, Indians. And she threw out the first pitch at like the Met Stadium like a couple days ago.
Yes.
The Haktua lady.
Faith's probably too chaste to know what degenerate stuff we see on the internet.
That's been all over. It's got to be all over Instagram and the memes.
I did see a native do the Haktua to this man, but I didn't understand it.
No, it's the lady where she's talking about giving oral pleasure, and so sometimes you got to spit Haktua on it. And they, like, it's this humongous meme, and she's like famous and stuff now.
And people will spit on that thing.
Yeah, and people are so divided on it. It's great. Like, it makes people.
She got to quit her job at the Spring Factory. She said she fucking worked at.
Yeah. So. Actually, like a millionaire. You know, look it up.
Well, because now. Because all the merchandise.
It's not a bad. Like I said, the interview's not bad. It's just, I mean, it's just fun. A funny reaction. So.
It's great because she's come out now and she's been like, yeah, all these people are making like T-shirts and whatever. She's like, I don't get any money from that. They're putting my picture all over the stuff and like,
but she's making all the
stuff I said. So she's like, I got a lawyer. She's like, I'm gonna start making money off.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, and then shout out to Graham. And I do. Speaking of Graham, I always shout out everything on the Visionaries Global Media, but I keep forgetting because Graham does a lot of additional content outside of the Good Cop Bad Cop Wrestling podcast. That is fantastic. So Graham, I do apologize for that. So make sure you're, like we always say, make sure you are subscribed to the Visionaries Global Media feed. You'll catch all this stuff on there. Between me and Graham, there's been like 14 podcasts in the past 2 weeks. But yeah, I just want to shout out, I really do enjoy, unless I know he's had Nish Guy on for the Good Guy, Good Cop, or Good Card, Bad Card. So, but yeah, Graham said, yeah, for our Hudson Hawk review, I don't know if you saw this or not, Will, but he said it should be Hudson Hawk Tua for the sequel. And that just blew my fucking mind. And the funny thing is I'm going to break down the fourth wall here to anyone that listened to that episode. So I actually edited that because that was not the last thing that he said in the episode, but I did make it was like a mic drop. So I did to do some actual like editing and moving around. So that was pretty funny. Yeah, shout out to Graham and all of his great content. And happy birthday, everybody. Yeah, I swear I saw the Haktua girl.
You might have.
I really think it was her. I seriously do. So, you know, she likes baseball. So, but Will, we should probably get to some recording of some actual content here. We've got some questions of
dishonesty. Listen, this is what people tune in for.
I mean, celebrity sightings.
It's celebrity sightings. I mean, I'm listening, but I'm also. There's been a slew of new people recently joining the First Issue Club Discord. So like one of the channels in that just like blew the fuck up. And it's like, oh my, like I'm scrolling. I'm like, I need to get to the bottom. And it's like, it just keeps like reloading. It's like, I'm not done. Like, where's the bottom? So it's good. Good that there's so much conversation in there.
Did we talk about how CM Punk lives down the street from me?
No.
Yeah, I guess he's got a house like not that far, and he shops at the outpost next to our grocery store.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, I was like, huh? Because I know his gym, you know, the gym he works at for his MMA is down the street. So, and I mean, the price of, you know, it's a lot more affordable to live in Milwaukee. It's, I mean, and Milwaukee's only, you know, to most parts of Chicago, if traffic's decent, 90 minutes away, you know, so. Yeah, I just found that out.
I mean, the way you've made it, I'd be surprised just because the way you've made it out, you make it out like Milwaukee and Chicago have this blood feud. Unless it's just you that has the blood feud with Chicago.
No. Oh, no. It's
Chicago wrestling you've got beef with.
Well, yeah, in a way. So
Also, shouts out to Tropic Al for being like, I got a local Fed that runs right next to my house. What are they called? I don't know.
I love
Attaboy.
I love Tropic Al. I mean, no offense to Duke. I've actually met Duke in person. He's just as funny in person as he is on a podcast. But yeah, I'd like to, I wouldn't mind hanging out with Tropic Al. So we'll have to ask Brundon how that was. So yeah, and shout out to Brundon being in Studio A, first time.
First time in Studio A.
Yeah.
Didn't big, make the big, big Brundo.
Doing big things.
Big things.
Well, speaking of Brundon,
and one more tangent, Tom, the wire's starting to get good. So I'm glad we kept up with cool. It. The first couple episodes, it was kind of like, oh, I don't.
Yeah.
Now that we're like 8, 9 episodes in, we're like, oh, shit's happening now. Like, let's go. We're cooking.
I'm going to give you a little piece of advice because they're going to totally flip the script for you in season 2. But you have to keep in mind that each season is a different part of Baltimore. Because they go to the docks and people lost their fucking minds because they thought it was going to be like a drug drama the entire time. But yeah, but they do kind of, I mean, a lot of the same characters. I mean, you're still going to get fucking, Avon Barksdale, and you're still going to get Stringer Bell, and everything. But yeah, they'll switch the docks and people lose their mind. And I was one of those. But once you learn, it's like, oh, it's like a different aspect of each city of Baltimore. Like the fourth was like the school district. Chico, what are you? Smoke his whip his ass. Come on. Anyways, but yeah, keep that in mind. So stick through the first couple episodes of season 2, you'll be like, oh.
And before we get too far into it, do you want to talk G1 at all?
We talk all day.
Congrats to Zack Sabre Jr. Right? I mean, he was a lot of people's pick from the start. I didn't really keep a whole lot of tabs on it as it was happening. But I mean, having ZSJ and Yuta Suit. No, Yuta? Is it Yuta?
Just Tsuji.
Tsuji. Suit, like, that's, I feel like that was the best possible final to have, right? Because you have ZSJ is the guy. Like, it is his time to be the guy. I mean, he's been a staple there for so long.
Yeah,
he has time for him to be the guy. I mean, he's incredibly over. TMDK are incredibly over. And then you've got the future, right? I mean, Tsuji's been back from excursion for a year.
A little over a year, yeah.
And they put him in the G1 final. I mean, against ZSJ. I mean, let's, what better spot is there? I mean, that's it.
Yeah. I really, really enjoyed this year's G1. It was cool to see Great O'Con make the playoffs. Although I don't like that they do this like guy that does, loses his first 3 or 4 and then gets in at the end. That's getting kind of played out. They seem to do it every fucking tournament. And it was just fun watching, ELP, kind of descend into madness because now he's, all of his people left. But him and Takeshita probably had the match of the fucking tournament. Shout out to Shota Umino, doing the fucking tournament with a fucking busted hip. But yeah, I think this was really a good showcase for the young talent that they need to do at this point. I'm not sure if we're gonna get any more PSP content, but hopefully we do. Yeah, it was great. I mean, I got a little emotional. I mean, obviously, I want Jeff Cobb to win every single match, every single day. But ZSJ was definitely my second favorite. And this is like, I usually don't watch like the speeches afterwards, but like his, and his Japanese is pretty fluent. And then they gave, great speech, and it's like, and he called a shot. He's not waiting to Wrestle Kingdom. I don't know if you saw that, Will. He's facing Naito like at Rev Pro like in a month. A Royal Quest, I think it is.
Oh man, do they give him the belt in Rev Pro?
I think it's Royal Quest. I in England, but I think it's a New Japan show. I could be wrong. But he's like, fuck it, I'm not waiting. I've been waiting for 10 years and this is my shot. And that reminds me, I have to hit up Apron Bump Kyle too about something. So thank you for reminding me. Yeah, no, great G1. A lot of great matches. GSG winning, spoiler alert for everybody. The final was fantastic. I mean, they laid it all on the lines. You know, it's cool that, I mean, no offense to Naito, big fan of Naito, but his time is done. You know, it was good that him and Sonata didn't make the playoffs. I was glad the House of Torture did not also make the playoffs.
I can't believe you'd say that about our buddy Watanabe.
Yeah, I mean, fuck the
He
fuck
even
up.
got name dropped on this episode.
Yeah. So,
Which, in case people didn't know, we're covering an episode of Ring of Honor TV this week.
we are. We definitely are.
It's the, you know, like Taz's entrance theme says, the mood is about to change. We
Yeah.
are Kevin Steenless. Carino's back behind the desk,
Yeah.
and it's our final chug that we brought up in pre-pro next week. Start covering Death Before Dishonor.
Yeah, night one in Milwaukee. So hopefully, I couldn't line up any guests. I knew a couple people that were there, but I'm hopefully going to get some thoughts from some people that were there. But Will, this is not just to torture Brundon.
Ooh.
But let's actually go over TV first before we go over our questions of Dishonor and then our Steam thing, Steam content. But Will, this is Ring of Honor to episode TV 153.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday night on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at the Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcast, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
If you like your music heavy, then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest-running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is radioactive metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
I know I say it every fucking week, but as we get higher and higher, it just baffles my mind. But this aired on August 23rd, 2014.
Crowd's hot.
Dude, Crudo's fucking super hot.
Steve Carino looks in great shape. Like, he looks happy to be back behind the desk.
Yeah.
They're ready to have a good time. Our main event is ACH cashing in on his title shot against Jay Lethal for the TV title.
Yeah. And it was funny, like, in my notes, I'm like, wait, are we still in Dearborn? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right, we're in Philly. The birthplace of Ring of Honor.
And I'm pretty sure they say it in the opening, too, the new streak is being defended. But we will get to that. Tom, we open with a little follow-up from back in July. We get Rocky Romero versus Tommaso Ciampa
in a great fucking match
where they show us a little bit of recap from the event. They don't name the event. They just show like the time date. It's July 19th. It's like, okay, cool. And they show, you know, Ciampa and, you know, Kozlov couldn't make it. So they paired Ciampa off with Rocky Romero.
And they couldn't
communicate well. And Carino says, you know, Ciampa's got a lot of issues with this. He's like, but Rocky Romero is a very accomplished tag team wrestler. So if there's issues with communication or working effectively as a team, it might not be on Rocky Romero.
Yeah.
But again, you know, Rocky Romero comes out. I mean, the crowd's hot. Crowd's hot. Open to close on this. I mean, they love Rocky Romero. They got loud for Tommaso Ciampa, and like, you know, he's eating it up.
Yeah, and these two went to war. And as always, being in Philadelphia, and I guess at this time the Phillies weren't very good. Obviously, Kevin Kelly's got to ask Carino if he's sending Ryan Sandberg a birthday card on September 18th. Will, you're probably wondering how I know Ryan Sandberg's birthday is September 18th. Because my birthday is also September 18th.
That's good to know. Thanks for the subtle wink and a nod to make sure I get the birthday gimmicks in the mail for you. My brother's is the 17th.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, because you guys, I mean, I keep forgetting you guys are Irish twins. That's kind of pretty, a little close, but.
Yeah.
You know, because I got married on what? I think it was your 26th birthday, I think.
How many years have you been married, Tom?
Seven. It'll be seven in October.
Seven in October, Tom. I turned 33.
So, yeah, I got married on your 26th birthday, Will. Totally off kick. Wow. But yeah, great.
That's right. This is what people are listening for.
But Lacey, and they mentioned in here, Ciampa is super fucking focused. Like I said, I mean, he, you know, he was had Kevin one of Kevin Steen's final matches. He did lose. And then he wins it with a backbreaker, Will. Kind of a spit in the face of Roddy, you know, and then they even comment on there that, you know, it's a good thing Roddy's not there because obviously going to have an issue with Ciampa using a backbreaker. But yeah, another great opener.
Ciampa did not win with a backbreaker, Tom.
Oh, that's right. He did. Okay.
Ciampa.
Okay.
They went hard. You know, there's a lot of aggression. Like, there's a lot of negative feelings on both sides of this.
Before we get to that, though, I forgot.
They make the joke about how they're chanting knee. He's like, oh, in Japanese, that means two. So our friend Watanabe's in the back thinking they're chanting two, two, two.
Halfway through the match, they actually interject with a promo. So that's why I got my notes here for Tadarius Thomas. who was right complimenting ACH. And
so they did a couple of these, and it's weird because there's like no background noise, so it's like dead quiet and just these people talking. It's like, it's kind of weird that it's so quiet.
Yeah, and then
it's a record scratch. Tadarius Thomas starts to put over ACH. BJ Whitmer cuts in. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I give you the opportunity to open your mouth. I give you the opportunity to talk. You don't put him over. It's, you know, slaps him beside the head, and he gets his face like, you're going to do something about it?
No.
I didn't think so. He tells, like, some other kid comes in from the side. Like, doesn't concern you. He's like, I'm taking this microphone off. Like, I'm out of here. Like, this is a waste.
Yeah. I do apologize, everybody. That is 100% on my fault. But like Will mentioned, these guys are two studs. But Ciampa hits the Project Ciampa. Then he gets a Sicilian stretch on Rocky Romero. But Will, Rocky Romero gets to the ropes. However,
and folks, Tommaso, you know, when your opponent's on the ropes, you have to count a five, and it's a disqualification. They gave Ciampa 2 5 counts.
Yeah, and you know, because you're supposed to break unless it's a pure rules match, obviously.
Right, but we're not going to have any pure rules matches for a while.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Looking forward to that time, though. That's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, like Will said, 2 5 counts.
Yeah, because he did the five count, and he's like, Ciampa, it was a five count, and he looked like he got him to look at, like, Ciampa, look at me. It's like 1 2, and Ciampa refused to let go. So bell rings, Ciampa lets go. Your winner by disqualification,
Rocky Romero.
Ciampa's smiling, licking his chops, up to the camera. Elgin, I'm coming for you. So he's looking past anybody between him and Elgin. Like, he is fixated.
Yeah, which our boy Silas Young will not be happy about when he wins title. He's going to have to earn it. But Will, I fucking love that. It's not, I don't think we've seen that in Ring of Honor yet. You don't see that very often in general.
No, so in the main event, too, we see a bit more where they talk about how, like, the referees use a lot more of their discretion. They are just as much participants in these matches as, like, the wrestlers are. So, I mean, the referee could have just called for the bell, but he didn't. He's like, what are you doing? I'm going to give you another five count. Also, to Rocky Romero's credit, he didn't tap out when he was on the ropes.
Yeah.
So good for Rocky Romero, who also got a little comeuppance, a little bit of a jump on Ciampa when Ciampa was, again, not really having his eye on the ball. Then Ciampa quickly out of the ring, away. Doesn't want any more to do with Rocky Romero at this point.
Loved it, you know. I thoroughly did. So it's just something different.
Ciampa's going to be a real bastard pretty soon, though. When this comes to a head, oof.
Next, then we get a quick promo from ACH, and like we mentioned, or Will mentioned earlier, we've got ACH versus Jay Lethal in the main event, but he's walking home to Texas with that TV title. Will, I know you're pretty advanced intellectually, and like a lot of people, and you are aware of the geographic situation of the United States. Philadelphia to Texas, that's a long walk.
That is a long, especially depending on where in Texas you're going.
Yeah, I mean, half of that might be, if you're like in El Paso, half that walk is going to be in Texas.
Texas is big.
It's not small. The largest exit I've ever seen on Highway 10. 882 miles from...
My old supervisor is from Italy. And his... somebody's that he's related to, boyfriend, coming over to the States and, like, staying over. He's like, oh, we're going to go to, like, this place and this place. He's like, you don't realize how big... He's like, you don't understand how big the United States are. It's not like Europe where you can hop in a car and you could do like a day trip and hit like 3 or 4 countries in like a big loop. Like, you could drive hours and still be in the same state. And that's even up, up my way where the states are smaller.
Yeah, I mean, Wisconsin's, I mean, it's 6 hours north to south.
My way, you're looking at, like, I'd say, like, 3.5 to 4 to go tip to tip.
Yeah.
Love being tip to tip, just bro stuff.
My father-in-law, he always has a joke. He says, people in the United States think 100 years is a long time, and then people in Europe think 100 miles is a long distance. So that's very true. But ACH is, he's going to walk home with that TV title. Lethal retorts as, ACH is his meal ticket, he's talking about wrestling,
It's his ticket to, it's his ticket to get out of the ghetto. Which, Lethal's got, like, his V-neck t-shirt, the sunglasses, the hat cocked to the side. I like Heel J. I'm liking Heel J Lethal.
Yeah, but I was trying to find a picture, that kind of encapsulated them before I finally figured out how to take a screenshot on my laptop here 3 years later. When I was doing a little bit of research, but I guess ACH and Jay Lethal actually have legitimate beef.
Oh man.
And I just thought it was kind of cool because, obviously, we see,
Was the beef this far back or was it?
I think so. It was from his time in Ring of Honor. Because obviously it seems like they stick all the black wrestlers together. So it's kind of nice that these two aren't together. Jay Lethal's kind of separate from that, but I did not know that at the time. So I just kind of randomly found that, but Will, next, the streak is 138-0. And
but Tom, the streak, I started sweating just because I know how the streak ends to some degree. Tonight, he was defending the streak against Moose.
Yeah.
Ramon, still not a big fan of Moose. Haven't explained why. Don't know why Stokely Hathaway and Ramon look so similar.
Yeah. Trino makes the comment, that Beta got a short haircut. It's like, ay, ay, ay. But Artie Evans talks is... talks Moose into joining him.
Yeah, Vegas Scott's, I'm going to ask you one more time. Ari Evans, you need a quarterback. It could be a team sport. And somehow they get Moose to shake his hand and agree. So there's no contest.
Yeah.
The streak continues, and now it's going to be streak. Streak.
Yeah, so it was
boy, did he dodge a bullet since Moose almost ended that streak in that four-way match.
Yeah. And then obviously, Veda wants to go streaking. Ha 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 ha. A little tongue in cheek there for sure.
Hot diggity dog.
We're gonna go on to our main event here. ACH versus Jay Lethal. This is the shot that ACH won a gauntlet match at Best in the World after the shot. And like I said, I have my notes here before I found that article, but I love that ACH and Lethal don't like each other. But these two are fucking magic together.
Lethal's hair. The hairstyle was a very interesting choice.
Yeah. But Sleazy and Truth do both get ejected. Crowd's on fire. But goddamn, Will, I posted on the Twitter machine, this is a fuck of a match.
This was a very, very good match.
And probably one of the longer, if not longer, TV matches we've seen. These two just went tit for tat the entire time. Jay Lethal had the advantage for a while, and ACH had the advantage there for a while. But then I forgot, there's a very funny comic book comment from Steve Carino that Will brought up earlier. The crowd was fucking blown up for this. This is definitely another one of those matches. Listen, I didn't take a lot of notes. So high fivers, if you ever get a chance, seek this match out for sure. But in the end, Will, ACH hits that 450. But Lethal gets his leg on the rope. That was one of the better shots because the way it was shot, you couldn't see Jay Lethal's leg.
The crowd thought it was there, though. They started throwing the streamers.
Yeah, you had streamers and everything. It was really, really well done.
And let's not forget, the House of Truth tried to get this match thrown out.
Yeah.
Sleazia threw ACH into the ring post, got ejected. Martini was kind of not seeming the most confident to imagine. Eventually, Truth Martini also gets ejected.
Yeah.
And Farina says, you know, he's got to do it without help. And Kevin Kelly says he's never needed the help. Like, he's never needed Truth Martini to get to the spot. Like,
so, they battle. And
the bell rings, Tom.
Yeah.
But why?
Sorry, the Brewers blew a save, but they're still in the game.
But Tom, why does the bell ring?
Because they went.
What did they harp on during this match? Jay Lethal knows there's a 20 count outside the ring. He knows he has champion's advantage if there's a count out or disqualification. And he knows there's a half hour time limit.
And they went the full half hour.
You could see it in the crowd. You would see ACH like pleading Todd Sinclair, like, no, like, not like this.
And Jay Lethal says, yes. Yes, like this. Love it.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I was shocked that that's the route they went. But again, ACH is still fairly new. They're starting to really build up around him. That's going to make him seem, it's huge. He didn't lose. The match ends in a draw.
Yeah. I mean, he was a foot on the ropes away. Shout out here real quick to Liquid Death. Haven't had one of these in the podcast in a while.
Can't find any Cherry Obituary near me.
Really?
A lot of the Buried Alive, a lot of the Mango one, the Rest in Peach. But no Cherry Obituary. Might have to hit up the old Amazon. Order some Swamp Thing and some Liquid Death.
But yeah, back to the, I mean, this, I loved it. It was a great match.
I felt cheated with the, but they don't do it. Like, it's not a spot they do a lot.
Yeah.
And you figure most of the time where there's matches with time limit to, like, they call, it's like, hey, there's 10 minutes left. There's 5 minutes left. There's no time calls.
No. Just ended. I was like, and I was kind of looking, I was like, huh. I'm like, this is, you know, when, because when the match started, I was like, okay, la da da da. I mean, 22 minutes. I was like, yeah. Obviously, they edit out for TV and this, that, and the other thing, but yeah,
they gotta take commercial breaks.
Yeah, this was definitely a match of the year contender, in my personal opinion.
I feel like I'm coming around on Jay Lethal too, and I don't know how I feel about that.
He does play a great asshole.
His heel work is so much better than what he was doing leading up to this.
Yeah, and you're going to want to get used to him because you're going to see a lot of him.
I mean, he's there for...
Till the end.
Till the end, yeah.
You know, he's the final battle. I can't say enough about this match because obviously I haven't said much at all. Seek it out. If you don't have Honor Club, I'm sure it's on YouTube or something.
Look it up on Billy Billy. You can probably find it there.
Yeah, it's easily on Billy, for sure. So, I'm sure it's on Daily Motion, but yeah, you know, it was awesome. But Will, you know, before we dive into our questions of Dishonor, and no, Brendan, we did not do this just to spite you, by the way. With everything that happened in this TV episode, Will, would you keep watching Ring of Honor TV going forward?
This was a really good episode of TV.
Two great matches. Fun stories. A little something different on both
ends. It'll be interesting to see, because I mean, TV's been good. So like, we'll see what it's like, because we're, like I said, we're running into Death Before Dishonor. What's going to happen with TV? How much of this is going to be road rage in the next couple weeks?
But I think this Philadelphia stuff, I think this is all another TV taping. So I'm not sure how much raging we're going to be doing on the road. But I guess we'll see. We've thought that before, and we know how that goes. So,
you know, knock on the proverbial wood, TV has been good. I would say that the TV has been trending a lot better.
Yeah,
than it was. I couldn't put my finger on an exact spot, but I feel like we really haven't had any duds in a while.
No, you know, and you know, thank goodness we never reverted back to fighting February.
It was a great idea. They just couldn't pan out.
That's putting it very plainly. But Will, let's do our questions of Dishonor, and we'll kind of do a Brendan sandwich.
Doing a Brendan sandwich, so with him in the middle.
Oh no, I'll be a Rob sandwich. Something we do Brendan's question, then we can do those Kevin Steen comments last.
Yes. So I don't know if we announced that at the start of the episode. We're going to talk about Kevin Steen, who's no longer with us, but he's with us every day.
Yeah. And I was kind of surprised they didn't mention him at all in this episode.
No mention of it all, other than Kevin Kelly telling Carino that he's happy to have him back behind the desk.
Yeah, but whatever. I mean, I wonder if when they taped that, did they think maybe there's no way that they didn't think he was going to WWE, right?
No. I mean, and that might be part of the reason they don't bring it up. I mean, like, they really don't, after Generico left, they really didn't talk about, like, oh, how Generico left. Like, he came up, but, like,
yeah, one
commentary wasn't bringing him up.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to find out the logistics of that. So anyone in the WWE legal team want to give us a heads up?
So Tom, what are we starting with? We're starting with Brendan's question.
Yeah, you got it up. If not, I got it. Ooh, you cut out there. You might want to do it again.
Oh, love to.
Oh, it only just sounds like the first note.
Rats. Well, you all know where the sound is, but you all know what the sound is at this point.
And shout out to my buddy Josh as I'm sitting here texting while I'm on the podcast here. Let me go with that to verbal here.
So question of Dishonor. If you could bring one of these random ROH guys that showed up only once, who would it be and against who? And Brendan's options he gives us are ICP, Conan, Abdullah the Butcher, and Johnny Fairplay.
Do you know much about Johnny Fairplay?
I knew nothing about Johnny Fairplay, so I Googled. And I Googled Abby the Butcher, because I didn't know if Abby the Butcher was like another gimmick, but no, it's Abdullah the Butcher, so I'm like, oh, okay. But I wanted to make sure, because I Googled this Johnny Fairplay. I'm like, I have no idea who this is. I'm reading something like they were on like Survivor. And like, so I'm like, what is I this is something.
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess I'll lead with mine. I mean, it'd be too late for it now, but I mean, a Kevin Steen, Johnny Fairplay. Or Abdullah Butcher, I mean, just to wheel him out. I mean, because he doesn't necessarily need to like be a high quality in ring performer. But if you wanted to, Tommaso Ciampa, a Duel of the Butcher.
Oof. That'd be a bloodbath.
That's, you know, that would be the idea.
You know, and I'm going to stay on brand, and obviously show it to myself as I'm, you know, in the midst of a beginning of a Lucha Underground podcast. I'm going to pick Conan. Yeah, I wonder what Conan did in his one Ring of Honor appearance. And there's just a plethora of people that you could put up against Conan.
Right? Was he still a wrestler at the time?
I imagine so.
Brendan said he wants ICP to fight War Machine.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, that's a good call. Whooping and whooping. Who can Conan fight? Because there's no real luchadors in Ring of Honor. It's not a big...
So, Ring of Honor, December 28th, 2002... this is something that's up on Reddit. It says, here's the infamous Conan Gauntlet match against Chris Devine and Quiet Storm. Oh. That was left off the Final Battle 2002 DVD. Oh, it was later released as part of ROH Uncensored Volume 1.
Hmm.
So I'll shoot this link over to you.
Quiet Storm is pretty solid.
See, Conan was wrestling at the time. I only know Conan as
the character,
like a manager and on screen persona.
I'm gonna go Conan versus Roddy. Yeah, I mean it's tough to beat ICP and fucking War Machine. That listed, yeah, that
match be or ICP against RD Evans. The streak continues. Whoop whoop.
I mean, Steve Corino and Abdullah Butcher would be fun. Steve Corino's not really, you know, a competitor right now, but it'd be fun to bring him out of retirement. But fuck it. I'm sick of Conan versus Roderick Strong. So shout out to the Irish Misfit. Glad you guys had a good vacation. Glad you had got to hang out in Studio A. The fifth and most important member of the Shining Wizards podcast. But what do we have from UTT Rob?
So UTT Rob's question. Untanking the territory. Wembley Stadium. A lot of fucking people.
18 million to be exact.
With all the talk of DVDs on 137. If you ran a blockbuster video franchise in 2014... which member or group of members from the Ring of Honor roster do you think you would be able to sell that franchise to maximize your returns and minimize your chance of getting beat up?
As we're both brainstorming here. As you can tell.
I mean, my first thought was a Truth Martini.
Me too.
Like it's obviously a cash grab. But then it could be the decade. And I wouldn't be afraid of getting beat up because they're beating up their own kids. So TD and Adam Page are going to get, you know, beat up for not having all the cases flipped the right way. They didn't put on an approved movie on the screen that's running in the store.
Oh, I'm going to sell it to Veda Scott. She's a lawyer. She does business things.
She is. She's probably not going to beat you up either.
No. Yeah. Veda Scott, do something different. For one, you know, Mark Briscoe's not an answer for...
Yeah, we support female-owned businesses, so...
Yeah, Veda. I think she'd do very, very well with it. Turner short haircut, according to Steve Carino, but we'll leave it at that. So.
Yeah, those are our two questions for this week. And then we've got some thoughts for our Kevin Steen retrospective portion.
All right. So what was Rob's question/thought?
Yep. So Rob said, as I'm late for the Kevin Steen retrospective, which member of the roster is most likely to have used the my dog ate my homework excuse? And who is the class SWAT, which Tom and I had to Google, and actually Urban Dictionary, to find out exactly what a SWOT SWAT was. So, Tom, who's using the excuse the dog ate the homework?
It's tough not to pick Roderick Strong. You know, we call him a jock all the time. It's definitely my dog ate my homework. Is definitely, you know, I don't mean to categorize or single people out, you know, or, you know. But Roderick Strong is quite often an answer in our questions of dishonor.
I feel like Matt Taven is probably using the dog ate the homework.
That was my second guess.
And who's the SWAT? I mean,
all right. I'm going to pick R.D. Evans. We already had.
I mean, I would say Veda Scott would probably be one of the obvious answers. Veda or Maria Kanellis.
Yeah. Well, now I'm going to pick R.D. Evans as the dog ate my homework.
Oh, is the dog ate your homework? My SWAT, I think I'm going to say Cedric Alexander.
You know, that's funny because I was going to pick ECH with his affinity for comic books. So
I really wanted to pick Caprice Coleman, but I feel like he's already a little older. And he's more apt to be the teacher and not the student.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with ECH and you go with Cedric Alexander. That's funny.
Caprice Coleman being the student would be like Steve Buscemi rolling up like, hello, fellow young people.
Yeah. Yeah, I can go with ACH. He loves comic books.
And Rob, you didn't miss the Kevin Steen appreciation, whatever. So if you if Rob wants to tweet out at us, if he has any particular memories, fond thoughts, or maybe they're negative thoughts, maybe UTT Rob hates Kevin Steen. We won't know, but we can definitely share them on next week's episode.
Oh, shit, the Cardinals had a grand slam for fucking beat the Brewers. God damn it.
So a while ago, back when I posted this up, our friend Mike Peterson said that his favorite Kevin Steen moments were the trilogy of matches with El Generico.
I mean,
there's a swath of tag team matches where they're tagging together that are great and worth going back and looking at. I mean, we watched that ladder war match with Chad.
Yeah. You know, and their rivalry was spread out over so long, too. I mean, so,
yeah.
You know, because Steen lost the match where he had to leave Ring of Honor.
Yeah, when we started this podcast, that was already a thing. So Steen was coming back.
Yeah, and real quick from Brandon, I said, I know you want our Ring of Honor memories. However, talking about Kevin Steen, I can't just limit to just Ring of Honor. I loved him every Fed I saw him in. He was a star in IWS and Jersey All-Pro, so that's cool. He really made his U.S. name in PWG and CZW. And that's what sucks about High Spots Wrestling Network going down, because they had this like 6-hour CZW Kevin Steen retrospective. His feud with Super Dragon PWG was epic and produced some amazing moments. Then him and Generico came into Ring of Honor swinging and never looked back. Their feud with the Briscoes, as we had mentioned with the watch along, made them top guys instantly. Then Steen spent so many years being the guy in Ring of Honor. I legit can't pick a favorite Steen moment, because Steen is someone who's always entertaining. His matches, his promos, backstage segments, everything. And that all goes to this day still. I can't think of a time where I saw him as Kevin Steen or Owens where I wasn't thoroughly entertained. Yeah, you really can't beat that.
I saw a clip earlier. It was just an excerpt from another video or conversation, but it was Chris Jericho talking about how Vince McMahon hated their Mania match.
Yeah.
Because Kevin Owens, he wanted him to be a particular kind of heel, and he didn't like that Kevin Owens did flashier moves. He did top rope moves. He did the stuff that made Kevin Steen such a sight to behold, right? Because he's obviously a heavyweight wrestler, but I mean, he does a running cannonball. He dives out to the outside. He does a moonsault.
Yeah. I think, you know, and I know it's the beginning of this podcast, and like I said, it was really what we started this podcast in general was because obviously when I first got back into wrestling, Kevin Owens, per se, was the one that kind of drew me in. So obviously you hear all this time in Ring of Honor, and then you hear about all this shit with Jim Cornette. And that shit was priceless. I mean, every week in, week out, those two going tit for tat. We never know if this was a work or if that was just, if that was a shooter or work or whatnot. When he would just flip Cornette off in the middle of a match, his triumphant comeback, it was, and like we said, it was, Carino, we started our, the match to get him back into Ring of Honor was the first match we covered on this show. But his title reign was awesome. Weren't big fans of Scum, as we talked about, but,
it could have been done better. The idea wasn't bad. The execution was bad.
Yeah.
Like, if we were getting the Scum story now, it would probably roll out in a much better, palatable way.
Maybe.
I think it would have, because I think just, like, the timing of the tapings are just shaking out better. And we have a solid group of people, so you're not getting people that you're only seeing, like, once, and they're not coming back around again. Like the Rhett Titus being a part of Scum really didn't add anything or go anywhere. The Cliff Compton stuff was kind of confusing.
Yeah, Jimmy Ray was there for an hour and a half. It
was just like the one match.
But I mean, in 2012, I mean, he obviously, him and Generico are going to be match of the year. But I mean, just fucking bangers with Davey Richards, bangers with fucking, Michael Elgin. Yeah, really the heart and soul of this podcast. So.
Now he's still grossly entertaining. It's Kevin Owens.
Yeah, hasn't skipped a beat. It's good to see that he was able to, to keep himself in that, big corporate machine, which is tough to do because he's not a Vince McMahon kind of person, as he told that story, obviously. I think Vince McMahon probably kind of had him out for it, him one way or another. And I'm sure any reason he got the title was probably more organic than anything.
Right, because there was that moment where they had the four-way for the Universal title at the time. Triple H, Pedigree, Seth Rollins, and Kevin Owens gets the world title.
Yeah.
But Kevin Owens, obviously, is a Triple H guy.
So
I feel confident saying that Kevin Owens would be on my Mount Rushmore. Wink, wink.
I wasn't sure if that's where you're going with it or not. So
wink, wink. It's got multiple meanings. If you know, you know.
Yeah. If you know.
Those of you that know, know.
I use that a lot.
I think my thing too is Kevin Steen was so much bigger than Ring of Honor. Because like when I started watching Ring of Honor, I didn't see a ton of Kevin Steen, but you could tell he was huge.
Yeah.
He had the merchandise. I felt like I knew the name. Like I knew the gravitas of Kevin Steen is like super important to this like independent level of pro wrestling. And I'd seen him in like a handful of like PWIs I'd picked up early on, but like I didn't really understand what the PWI was showing me because I only really watched Raw and SmackDown because there was no WCW. Like TNA was still like in its super infancy. So like I would read through these things and the being semi kayfabe, the semi not kayfabe. It's like, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do and glean with this. Like, I'm seeing the rankings. I'm like, I don't know how they get these rankings. Like, it was too much for me back then. But you'd see the cover and be like, hey, it's that Kevin Steen guy. I've seen him before.
Yeah. So
I also think it was really standout that the first thing that Kevin Owens really did of importance was beat the fuck out of his friend after his friend won the heavyweight title.
So good. I have to go. I've seen the clip, but it's a hell of an introduction.
You have a hell of, I mean, his introduction was he opened the card against CJ Parker, who is now known as Rock Hard Juice Robinson. And he broke CJ Parker's nose, I think.
Whoops.
But then at the end, you know, you have this great match between Neville and Sami Zayn. Great story, amazing match. Owens comes out, you know, hugs Sammy, raises his hand. Then they go to the outside, and he apron power bombs him like 5 times. What a bastard. What a Kevin Steen thing to do.
Yeah. Back to the orphanage you went. So, yeah, and like Brendan mentioned, like I said, I've seen a couple of his matches, you know, in PWG, and obviously, you know, we've seen it here where he gets on the mic in the middle of the ring. He's infamous for doing that, like jumping on commentary with fucking Excalibur, you know, during his PWG matches. So, yeah, it's
and Tom, for his sake, I really hope that was his last Ring of Honor match we'll ever have to see.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that's it. So. Oh, yeah. Okay. No,
I feel like at this point, there's no bag big enough I feel like they could offer him. He's such a family guy. And the E covers everything he needs for his family.
Yeah.
Do you feel like he's ever had the moment of where he is the top guy? He had the run with the belt for a bit. But do you feel like Kevin Owens has ever been like the guy? Has he had his I'm the guy moment yet?
I mean, I haven't watched enough WWE to really say. I was definitely more tuned, obviously, in the Festival of Friendship, you know, but obviously he's got Jericho as his lackey, but for a little while, like I said, they were trying something different where he was like Mr. USA from Canada or something like that, and they were trying to make him a heel, and I don't think he's ever really quite the guy, but he's always been.
Yeah, his U.S. title run, where my buddy and I joked about how Sami Zayn, an Arab from Canada, is the biggest threat to Canadian Kevin Owens America.
You gotta love the
irony. The clips of Kevin Owens at like the house shows. Like, I'm gonna get this crowd to chant USA for two wrestlers from Canada.
That's fucking brilliant.
Loudest crowd I've ever been in. Monday Night Raw. It was when Seth Rollins was the IC champ. Lesnar was the big champ, so he was never around. So Rollins was like the belt. It was in Montreal. Sami Zayn came out and the place got loud. Kevin Owens, it got so loud, you almost heard nothing. It just became like that washing roar sound where people are just like losing their minds. I was losing my mind too.
Yeah, the only time I've seen him was when he was the fourth man in for War Games at NXT.
War Games!
So that was fun.
I mean, his matches, I still think he should have went over, but his matches against Cena when he was the NXT champ and Cena was the U.S. champ. That more he beats down Cena, he stomps his boot on the U.S. title. It's like, let's go. Because at the time, I wasn't really watching main roster stuff, but I was vigorously watching NXT.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is what I want. It's like, this I feel is like my guy. Because I'm the NXT guy.
Yeah, what a time. You know, so it's
and to know that's a future WWE Hall of Famer, Kevin Owens.
Yeah, it's you know, and he's been there 10 or 3 years longer than he was in Ring of Honor, you know. That's crazy to think.
Right, so now at this point, it's like, you know, how long really was he in Ring of Honor? Like, you could say he's, you know, I mean, that's just how time works.
Yeah. Time's a flat circle, Will.
He's in the E with Steve Corino, with Sami Zayn.
Yeah, Jimmy Jacobs was there for a little while.
He was, and he took a picture of the Young Bucks, and they fired him.
Yeah. You know, Rhett Titus would be a good guy to have in the E, but yeah. So
yeah, he does have that E build.
But I think he's smart. I mean, I think like it maybe more as a producer stuff like that. But you know, I don't know what.
Obviously, the thought of bringing him in as a talent at this point, he's a little on the older side.
Yeah, but
he's a guy. It's like it's interesting that they, or I don't know if they ever tried to make a move for him, but
yeah. But thanks, Steen. Thanks. You know, it's been a good run.
Thanks, Steen. Thanks. Kill Steen. Kill. Fight Owens. Fight.
You know, or he's been a huge part of 139 episodes of this podcast, and he will be forever thankful. That was an intended moment of silence, but it just worked out that way.
How often do you think Kevin Owens listens to Unsettled Differences by Blue Smock Man?
I don't know. That'd be interesting.
So I listen to it almost daily.
Yeah.
If I don't actually listen to it, I still sing it to myself at least once a day.
Yeah, I wonder if ever, like, just well, like a one-time thing, he'll just do it just for shits and giggles.
Oh, man, they had something at one of the shows, like within like the last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago at this point, but there was a moment where, like, what if they pull it and then it's just like the Unsettling Differences comes out and it's like we get more of like a Kevin Steen comes out and not Kevin Owens. I'm like, I would throw a table, I would lose my mind. Just one night only.
Yeah.
It's like when Sami Zayn was going for the belt, I'm like, have him come out to Ole. Like, shill out the money, get bouncing souls for a night.
That'd be cool.
Like, the crowd would fucking blow the roof off the place. Because I want to say they were in Canada when I was thinking about them doing, like, just do it. Do it the one time. It'll be worth the money you spend on it.
Yeah.
Tom, yeah. So, don't say anything else we want to brush upon, discuss, chew on, chop it up about.
Yeah. No, I think that's really about it. Obviously, the usual shout outs. Everybody over at Visionaries Club Media, happy birthday, everybody. Unless it is, this drops, it's Freed's birthday. And happy belated to Diesel, Chad, and Matt. Listen to all the great shows on the Shining Wizards podcast. I'm sure there'll be a commercial somewhere in this episode. Yeah, shout out to everybody on Visionaries Global Media. If you know, you know. I want to thank you, everyone, from the Insane Eight tournament this year for coming on the Midwestern Wrestling Roundup, all 7 out of 8. And, Will, most importantly, thank you.
Most importantly, thank Faith for paying for the Zoom so we don't have to record this in 10-minute blocks.
Yeah, that's true. So no more fuck you Zoom break, so... thank you for the birthday present, Faith. So we appreciate you, Sunshine. But Will, yeah, I think it's getting a little late, so probably put a stick of fork in her. But you got anything?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, I feel like I worked through most of my stuff at the start of the show. I've been very inactive on our socials the last couple weeks, so I need to get my ass back in gear on that and, you know, maybe figure out about getting on other socials besides just Twitter.
Yeah, we really should probably get a Facebook group going. I know we've got a profile that I haven't looked at in 6 months, so
that's just a drag. It's like, I want to be on social media less, but now it's like, I need to do stuff for the podcast.
I know. It's like, I work all day in front of a computer, so I'm like, ugh. But, you know. But, Will, thank you, my friend. Shout out to, you know, obviously to Rob and Brendan for sending in questions. And shout outs to our cats and our wives and our air conditioners. And, Will, I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
This has been a Visionaries Global Media production. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.